Ladies and gentlemen, live from Apple Park, it's time for episode 506 of the Clockwise podcast from Relay FM, recorded Monday, June 5th. You know what day that is. Clockwise, four people, four technology topics, 30 minutes. And now your host, Micah Sargent.
Welcome back to Clockwise, the tech podcast that's coming to you live from WWDC.
Hey!
Chain rattle, excitement. As always, it is time to say hello to the person who is my buddy, my pal, and who didn't introduce the show this week. It's getting a little weird. It's Dan the Man Morin. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well, Micah. I was surprised even myself not to hear my own voice, which is very awkward, but it's a delight to be here recording at Apple Park.
Yeah, right here in the podcast studio.
Now, for I should mention, by the way, our 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yes.
This week is the 10th anniversary of Clockwise. Our first pilot episode that aired was in June 7th, I believe, 2013. So,
wow.
10 years.
Congratulations to you specifically as being, you know, the full part of that 10 years. Jason, congratulations to us together.
Yes.
For being the other part of that 10
the
years.
Some of that, yes. Hi, it's me, Jason Snell. I'm the host emeritus of Clockwise, and I introduced the show because Dan couldn't open his spreadsheet in time.
Oh, and by the way, Jason's to the left of me. So, Dan,
yes.
Tell us, who's to the left of you?
To the left of me is another integral member of the Relay FM team. It is the co-founder and the host of many fine podcasts, including Connected. It is the one and only Mike Hurley. Welcome, Mike.
It is a pleasure to... I have not been on Clockwise.
It's been a long time.
Because there was a time where I think I used to fill in for you all the time, Dan, and used to get the everything wrong.
Yep. Well, that's
yes.
You know.
That's right.
So that's why you're not allowed to fill in
anymore.
That's
why I'm not allowed to be filling in anymore.
Yeah.
But
you
I'm
know.
Very, very happy to be back.
Mike knows
and
all the catchphrases for this podcast. Keep, like, there's a clock
keep
somewhere.
Keep clocking the watch.
Yeah.
That's what they say on watch clies. That's what they say.
Speaking of which, I'm going to keep watching the clock, and we're running out of time. So we should get this started. Of course, you know how the show works for topics 30 minutes, and I will kick things off. My question for you. Tell us about a way you could actually see yourself using Vision Pro. Give us a use case.
Apple Vision use case.
Jason?
Wow. Well, I am definitely a believer, having a Meta Quest 2, that 3D movies and TV shows are actually really good in headsets. They're better than at the movie theater because they're bright and beautiful. And so I think that's fundamentally a use case that the idea of putting it on a big screen in a virtual environment or even in my house is a fun idea. So I think that, and then I would throw in there to the that airline use case. I mean, I was just in New Zealand. Oh, that's a long flight. It's nice to the idea of just shutting. I liked that point in the demo where they literally took the digital crown and just sort of went, hey, airline, whoop, you're gone. I kind of like that. So I'm looking forward to the entertainment use case because I actually think it will be a pretty good immersive way to like watch movies and sports and stuff like that.
I think those are all good use cases. The one that I was just thinking about what would be kind of fun is the ability to do a show like this one, like to do a podcast. I'm kind of just fascinated with the idea of like, you know, if you do a show over video and whatever, you can get certain cues and the ability to see people and like get a reaction and stuff like that. But the idea of being able to like seat people around a virtual table and like interact with them, I think would be fascinating. I'd be really interested to see if that's something that you could make work using sort of those immersive FaceTime call situations. I just wonder about that. And honestly, I also feel like there is a use case for me in terms of the immersive, the environments that they showed off. Because as somebody who is definitely easily distracted when it comes to doing some types of work, especially writing, the idea that I could like put on the headset and be in like a pleasant forest,
yes,
and just sit there and
it's
quietly,
a cabin.
Yeah, listen to some chirping birds and just work on my writing and type stuff out without having all the distractions of everyday life around me. Even if I was in like a, I don't know, like a busy cafe or something, like, I don't know, that could be kind of cool. So for me, that seems to have an appeal to it. Mike, what about you?
Two things. VR meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I currently do these often, and I would like a higher quality display in front of my eyes. So if I do a 2-hour meeting, I don't feel like my brain's dripping out of my ears, which is how I currently feel. And I do think the issue with the Meta products is the screen quality, like the resolution. I think it's too much eye strain. because the it's not clear enough. And also, it's a simple one, is just being able to have multiple screens, multiple apps all in one view, and being able to create from what I'm sitting here with just my 13-inch MacBook Air. I would like to have more screen real estate available to me. I do not. We just did upgrade before this. Mm-hmm. I could not have all of the windows I needed to see. It just mm-hmm. was not possible. And it would be fantastic to be able to use these devices like this in these kinds of instances.
All good answers. I think for me, I really like the idea of using it for cooking and baking. I have this problem.
I did not think you were going to say that.
Because think about the, well, for me at least, the number of times I go back to that recipe card or whatever it happens to be,
yeah.
and I'm having to look at it over and over again. If I could have that right there on the corner of my vision and I'm making something and it's just easy to follow along.
And there's the YouTube video in the corner.
Yes, yep. If there's something, yep. oh, you need to julienne these carrots. Well, suddenly I know how to julienne the carrots.
Also, if you cut an onion, it maybe insulates you from the crying. So that's a real good feature there. No one thought about that.
We're going to have to do virtual tears, though, for the onion. That is an excellent idea. So thank you all for your answers on that topic. Let us go to our next one, which comes from Jason.
Well, you know, at several points during today's historic, earth-shattering keynote, they would mention that you might be, you know, doing something like listening to music or a podcast. And every time they mentioned podcasts, I pumped my fist and went, woo, because I support the idea that you should listen to podcasts. Like you, podcast listener, you're listening to one right now.
Good luck.
Name something else that made you clap or almost made you clap if you're a taciturn type, Dan.
As somebody who is increasingly feeling incredibly old whenever I try to type something on my iPhone, the refinements to autocorrect are the thing that made me almost just stand up and cheer, because I have struggled recently with trying to, like, I swear it takes me four tries to get like every single message I'm trying to type, I mistype a word, and it's just, it's driving me kind of bananas. And so the idea that they're going to sort of refine that system, hopefully it will actually work as well as they've sort of showed off. There's a whole, but right now, like, there's multiple ways to correct errors when you type something incorrectly. And I feel like they're streamlining that potentially into just a more simplified interface, which will be great. Leveraging all that machine learning and stuff, I think that's all a real plus when it comes to that. And of course, I want to be able to ducking type, guys, and I'm excited about that. Mike?
So there were two, kind of two things in one for me. It was iMessage stickers as emoji, like the emoji as stickers, and also then those stickers as tap packs. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I had the pleasure of sitting next to underscore David Smith during the keynote, and every time people were talking, every time they're doing widgets, and they spent their time talking about a lot of widgets, underscore was very excited, but also increasingly, I think, as the keynote was unfolding, realizing I will not have a summer because there were more and more widgets in more and more places. And as he was walking away from Apple, from the keynote, he was already telling me about his idea for the Vision Pro app. It's like, this man does not stop.
He doesn't.
It was awesome.
It's force of nature.
Well, for me, it's definitely got to be the audio message transcriptions. And here's why. I really like to send audio messages, but I hate receiving audio messages.
It's a real gift of the Magi situation there.
My little brother is particularly, he only talks to me in audio messages, which means that he doesn't hear from me for like a week, because that's how long it takes me to finally get around to listening to whatever the 3-minute rambling audio message is that he sends. If I could have that transcription right there, I'd be the best big brother in the world. So really, it's the big brother feature, and I can't
but
wait
not
to
like
get
the
it.
Creepy big brother
not
feature.
No, this is the, yeah, no, not that big brother.
No, not the one you're thinking of. Well, my other than podcast, my serious answer would be standby. And this was a moment, the nice thing about all of us being together is there was a moment where they talked about the standby feature on the iPhone, which by itself, it's interesting. It could be very interesting. But when it started to talk about how, oh, also you can ask it things with Siri and it will show things on the screen when you do so, and it's got a whole environment. And Dan and I, both of whom have voice assistants with screens and stuff like that, we looked at each other and we're like, there it is. Mm-hmm. That is, now Apple has laid the groundwork for a HomePod with a screen, essentially a voice assistant for the kitchen. They also multiple timers. They broke that ground. Yeah. You can show, you can see them
we
all.
We do live in an age of miracles.
Miracles. So anyway, that one actually got me pumped, not for the feature itself, but because I think every bit of software is now in place for that other product to happen. And I can't wait for that. Thank you all.
Yeah, and can you believe it's already halftime here on Clockwise?
Things go fast on keynote day.
Zoom, 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 zoom. So I do want to take a quick break to tell our sponsor, thank you for sponsoring this week's episode of Clockwise. It's brought to you by Traceroute this week. The latest episode of the Traceroute podcast covers one of the most important questions for our future. How do we prepare kids for jobs that don't exist? Well, studies show that because of the rapid progression of technology, up to 85% of jobs that will be available in 2040 have not yet been created. It's a super topical question and one you'll be able to delve into on the new season of the Traceroute podcast, so add it to your to-listen list today. It's a tech podcast unlike any you've heard. This season features new co-hosts and new stories about the inner workings of our digital world. Each episode peels back layers of the stack to find the stories about hardware's very real effect on human lives. And the latest episode explores how Gen Z's humanity may be their biggest asset in tomorrow's job market. There was an earlier episode called When the Lights Go Out that I found very fascinating, if not frightening, because it actually talks about how there are engineers out there who are working on making sure that if bad things were to happen on a global scale, and as time goes on, that the infrastructure that we have is still in place, that these things will last and last for a long time. So it's a little bit of, a moment of fear, but then you get this nice burst of hope in the end, knowing that there are people out there working on it. And I think that is what makes it amazing. The next episode coming out next week, or rather coming out this week, we'll discuss how we can help other nations, cultures, and tribes reconstruct missing languages and artifacts. So listen and subscribe to the new season of the Traceroute podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the Traceroute podcast now. And of course, our thanks to Traceroute for their support of this show and Relay FM. All right, we are back from halftime here in the Apple Podcast studio for WWDC. And Dan, it is time for your topic.
So among all the platform updates, Apple also devoted one section of the keynote to home and audio announcements. And so I'm kind of curious. I mean, you know, it's easy to pick out often iOS features or macOS features we're excited about. Home and audio, I think, is a very personal sort of thing. And I'm curious, what is something there that stood out to you, my curly noted tvOS champion?
Oh, I think I'm going to not do about that. I'm going to steal everybody else's answer, which is the adaptive AirPods thing. Mm. I thought that looked really, really cool. I was very excited about that because I sometimes find myself in a situation where I would like to not be I would like my sound to be isolated, but not be completely removed if somebody needed to grab my attention. But because Dan introduced me as the tvOS champion, I should say, I just think the general cleaning up of some of the tvOS interface was really nice. The control center stuff was good. And of course, being able to find the remote with the phone, it's just like, great, they did it. You know, you did the thing. Good work.
How does that work? Does anybody know?
It doesn't work the way you want it to work. It's using Bluetooth low energy, so you'll be able to get close, you won't be able to precision.
You're warm.
Finding.
You're right on top of
so
it.
So realistically, if you've lost it in the room that you're in, you already know. It's in the room you're in. But then that's probably going to be it, but maybe it'll work better than I expect.
Mike, you're being a bit of a podcast sponge, soaking up all the options.
I can't help it.
It's okay.
Excited.
I actually also am excited about something from tvOS you didn't mention, which is FaceTime. For Apple TV.
They took mine.
My whole family lives in Missouri, not Missouri, please. Missouri.
Misery.
And I, at Christmas time, at Thanksgiving, the past 2 years have done this horrible dance of putting up an iPad and sort of trying to have everybody see us and we see them. And it's always a nightmare because they just have little iPhones and I want that to be improved. And I think this is the way that it will be improved. And I am very much looking forward to the tech support calls it will take to get that all set up for them. But once it's done, it'll be like we're there with them in the space. So I'm pumped about that. Jason?
Is there anything left after you guys just took all the good topics? I'm going to throw out SharePlay in the car only because it's actually, I feel like for people who've never used SharePlay, it's going to be a good example of SharePlay. The idea here is that, oh, look, we've got a shared music queue and people can put music in the queue for the car and then the music will play while you're on a long car trip with people in your family. That's a great idea. And it's a different use of SharePlay than what you usually get, which is, oh, we're apart. Now it's like, no, we're all together. And one device is attached to the Bluetooth on the car. And now I can share that with everybody else so that they can help control the entertainment experience in the car. And as somebody who's had family members yell at me for taking control of the stereo in the car, still pains me a little bit. This is a little more democratic, a little ecumenical here.
I think I like that both Mike and I were talking about that earlier and had the same experience of our partners, like our phones being connected to CarPlay and our partners shoving our phones in our face so they could unlock it.
To yeah, add yeah. something to the queue.
And you're yeah. like, I'm driving. Please do not shove that in my face. No, I think you guys picked a lot of good ones.
Especially Mike, he picked several.
Yeah, I'm a sponge.
I was going to say, I'm going to add on to Micah's one about FaceTime and say the fact they announced third-party apps like Zoom, because I play like a couple like regular D&D games, and we use right now, I have like my MacBook Air and it's on a footstool and I'm airplaying to my Apple TV and it's just a pain. It's like an awkward framing and everything. So the idea that we'll just be able to like put that up as an app on the screen is great. I'm totally here for that. So I'm looking forward to that. And then the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting on the TV front was potentially the addition of letting you use your memories as screensavers. I really like the aerial view, the flyovers that they're adding some to, but the idea of sort of adding into that the ability to use your own photos as just really nice looking screensavers. I mean, I think that's a plus for me. So, but there's so much here I feel like I haven't even dug into. So like, I'm very curious to see what the rest of these features look like in actual use. That is three topics down. We have one last topic, which comes from Mike.
Hello. Now you can all be sponges. Come back around to me. What is one or many iOS or iPadOS feature that you are excited about?
Yeah, this is where I feel like a bit of a sponge, because a lot of the small things that were announced were the features that I was most excited about. The sort of tap back any emoji thing is something that really stuck out to me. I like the idea of getting, they said during the keynote something about like, how do you know the perfect time to answer a phone call? And my answer is never. but perhaps with voicemail live transcriptions, it will be sometimes, which would be quite nice. And then there's a feature that I've seen sort of mimicked in third-party apps before, this sort of check-in feature that I'm really glad got attention on stage and is actually going to be something that'll be included, because my partner and I will often use the ETA features in Apple Maps as a way to make sure that neither of us is driven off into a ditch. It's mostly me who's worried about people driving off into ditches. I have a thing. But
have that thing.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone. I always think my co-host is driving off into ditches when he's on his way to the show in the morning. So anyway, not you, Dan. We do this from home. Anyway.
We know, Dan.
I'm driving into ditches left
Dan
and
lives
right.
Dan in the ditch. What are you talking about?
That's what he has to drive there.
I can't get out.
You're going to be checking in from the ditch. I think this is a great feature, and I think in its more limited capacity, because I think this is going to give people sort of a freedom to include more people potentially and feel like they can share, oh, yes, I've made it home, where before they might not want to share their exact location at every moment along the way. So great stuff. I'm going to leave it at that, though, so we have room for lots more. Jason?
I thank you, and the clock thanks you. You know, Dan will remember this. I don't know if the other two of you will, but back in the Palm days,
I don't remember.
There was
in the Palm days, Jason.
Remember when PDAs were in the land? And well, so the Palm organizer, one of the things that it had that was really cool is it had the infrared beam on the front of it wasn't cool, but the thing that was cool was if you held down the power button, or maybe it was the center button, it would flash the infrared beam, and the other person with another palm would hold theirs in front, and you would transfer your business card.
I do remember that.
Although it was silly, it was this incredibly tactile feature that felt like you were actually transferring the data. And what I'm saying is, I love Name Drop, the feature that it was announced for iOS, because even though we've been able to transfer, I mean, transferring your contact information is nice. We've been able to airdrop files before. But the idea that Apple is going to make a gesture where the phones know they're right next to each other, you physically hold them together, and it kicks off the ability to transfer information, and then you can walk away, even out of range, and it will use the internet to do it. I love it. And the reason I love it is not because it's groundbreaking, but because it's so tactile. And I think there are a lot of people who don't understand AirDrop,
mm-hmm.
who are going to understand, look, if I put my iPhone by your iPhone, we can transfer stuff. That is just bringing it into the real world makes it a better feature. So yeah. I'm excited by that. I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, that is cool. That's a great name too, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I laughed when they said name drop. I think that's very clever.
I laughed like 2 minutes later. It took me a really, I said it so much. I was like, oh, that's funny.
I'm going to pick a couple small ones that I think will actually make a real big difference in daily usage. One of them is the ability to share pass keys and passwords. And it's not just limited to like, oh, you can share them with your family or whatever. You can pick like up to 5 people and share an account. For example, Mike and I run multiple social media accounts for Clockwise, and we can like text stuff back and forth, but that's a pain. This allows not only the ability to share it, but the ability for like it to be kept in sync. So if Micah changes the password for some reason, like if he got like, oh, we got a security breach or something, either one of us can change it. It remains in sync. The other person still has all the credentials. That's incredibly important, especially with pass keys, because otherwise sharing pass keys is super unwieldy. I'm very curious to see how it works in actual implementation, but I am very excited for that, especially also as someone who shares a bunch of accounts with my wife too, whose biggest fear is that I will get out of the ditch and she will not have any of the streaming passwords. yes, you shall be alerted when I get out of the ditch. And I'm going to mention a second one, which was not in the keynote, but which I'm very excited about, is that, and Jason, I think you'll like this too, you can now link between notes. You can now notes
so
together.
Let me just tell you a very short story here, which is I was with Federico Fatici when he saw this on Apple's website, and it was like he almost dropped his phone. He was like, what? and then he looked off into the distance for a moment, and then he began to nod, and he says, yes, it's happening.
And then he set fire to his
it's
copy
happening.
Of Obsidian.
No, it's happening. It's all to play for now.
Mike, why don't you wrap this up?
Interactive widgets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy about this because I like that they've established the new idea of what widgets are, how they look, how they operate, and now we'll be able to have some basic interactivity within those widgets as well. I think that is a very nice feature to have. They showed some really great examples of it, even just simple ones like turning off a light.
Yeah.
Just from your lock screen.
That's huge.
Or from your home screen. Fantastic. Very happy
with
that.
So nice. All right. Well, we have just enough time for a bonus topic. There's a real clock we're watching.
It's exciting. I like it.
And we'll get to that in a moment. But I do want to mention that we have Clockwise shirts available. Dan and I both now have our green version of that shirt available at clockwise.social/shirt. If you get a shirt, you are, of course, helping us and supporting us, and we appreciate
spreading
that.
Spreading the word about Clockwise.
Yeah. But you also get a great shirt that you should go check out. Clockwise.social/shirt. Join Dan and me in the fun.
I saw Dan wearing one yesterday.
Yesterday.
You can actually join. I mean, you could join Dan.
It looks really nice.
He does wear it.
It's a good shirt, too.
It's a good shirt. Very good shirt. Very soft shirt. My question for you, there are occasionally some different food items provided. I was just curious, what was the best thing you ate today? Jason?
Micah, I have not been to the converted Apple store where they're feeding members of the press yet today, and I'll just say it's 4 p.m. So the best thing I had today is they had a little paper cup that had, they called it strawberries and cream. It had some dried strawberries in it. It had some white chocolate chips in it, and it had some cashews in it.
Excellent.
And between like that and a cookie and a croissant, that's my whole day, and I'm dying is what I'm saying. But anyway, the cookies and cream was nice. That was a nice little cute little...
I got
little,
a granola bar in my bag if you need it.
Oh no, Jason's
eating Jason,
Jason,
quick, feed Jason.
Nom, nom, nom.
I was over in the press center there, and all the lunch options were pretty good, but I did have a really good chocolate chip cookie. It was really good.
The chocolate chip cookie was good, too. Yeah, I did have that.
That was good.
Yeah.
I had a little fruit cup this morning that had some of the best pineapple I've ever had in my entire life. It was unbelievable. So that's what
flown in
say.
From Hawaii.
Copy and paste, Mike. I would also say that the mango was really delicious as
all
well.
All of the fruit was fantastic. So they grow them good here in Apple Park.
They do indeed. They got them right from the orchard, presumably. Folks, thank you for your answers there. Thank you for your food and deliciousness. If you would like to, except for Jason, I'm sorry. If you'd like to get ad-free episodes with an extra overtime topic every week, you out there can become a member of Clockwise. I feel like this is a bit of a... what is that called? SMR? No,
ASMR.
ASMR. Yeah. ASMR. Yes. Just miss one letter. You can go to relay.fm. Okay, I'm going to stop that. Just go to relay.fm/clockwise, sign up for just $5 a month or $50 a year, and you'll help support the show. In this week's overtime topic, we discuss what didn't get announced. All right. Well, I think that it is time to say goodbye. Thank you first and foremost to the Apple Podcast Studio for hosting us today.
Yes.
And thank you, Jason Snell, for being here.
Thank you, Micah, for picking up from me and making it a 10 great years of Clockwise. Woo! I'm glad to have been part of the start of it.
And thank you, Mike, for giving us a home here on Relay FM. We really appreciate it. We've been here a long time, and I cannot imagine being anywhere else. And thank you for being on the show today, too.
Pleasure. And it was a pleasure when we were given the ability to take your show like a pirate ship in the night away from the clutches of IDG and give it a permanent, long-lasting home.
On the seas, the high seas of podcasting. Well, we will be back next week from our usual remote locations. But until then, we remind everybody listening out there, watch what you say.
And keep watching the clock.
Bye, everybody.